Glorious grace and glorious peace be yours by faith in Jesus. Amen. We meditate again this morning on Revelation chapter 1, our second lesson in your worship folder. We pick up the vision of the Lord's Apostle John in verse 10 of Revelation 21. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, dear bride of Christ, hold on through the night. God brings the light. Two sermon themes from Revelation chapter 21. But where in all of this is Mother? Mother's Day has been celebrated on the second Sunday of May since Woodrow Wilson's presidential proclamation in 1914. Before that, in Great Britain, there was a day called Mothering Day when the servants were allowed to go home to mom, and the master would sometimes even give them a special little cake to take home to mother. These details come from an advertisement of a premier jeweler in the Twin Cities this past week. And that, to me, is rather ironic, because send the servant home with a little piece of cake for mom. You know, you think of a jeweler, take her some diamonds. Give mom diamonds and jewels. Was your mom like that? A diamond and a jewel? Or was she the meanest mom in the world? Did you get that email? I don't know how long that's been out there, but someone described it this way. When other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal, eggs, and toast. No Pepsi or Twinkie in our lunch, just sandwiches. She made our dinner different from other kids, too. She had to know where we were at all times as if we were convicts. She knew our friends and what we were doing with them. Gone for an hour meant back in less. She broke all the child labor laws by making us work. Dishes, beds, cooking, cleaning, laundry, and trash. All sorts of cruel jobs. Did she lie awake at night thinking of more things for us to do? She always insisted on us telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds. Then life really got tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends honk in the driveway like everybody else's friends. No, they had to come to the door so she could meet them. Everyone else was dating at 12 or 13. We had to wait until 16. Because of our mother, we missed out on lots of things other kids experienced. None of us ever got caught shoplifting, vandalizing people's property, or arrested for any crime. It was all her fault. Now that we have left home, we are all educated, honest adults, and we're doing our best to be mean parents, just like Mom. And some think that maybe that's the problem in our world today, that there just aren't enough mean moms. But you know, mean is one thing. That may be good for this life. But unless God brings the light, you never really figure out what that was all about and what good discipline is, whether it comes from your parents or comes from your God. You want to talk about jewels? You look at the bride of Christ. The way he describes his jewel of a bride, his holy church triumphant on the other side of Judgment Day, in terms of a jewel-bedecked city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. John is in the Spirit. He's lifted up by the Holy Spirit into this mindset where he can go where God takes him in this vision of seven visions we call Revelation. And an angel takes him, as we pick it up in Revelation 21, verse 10. And he carried me, that angel carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Over and over again in the Holy Scriptures, that capital city of the ancient Jews set on top the hill called Zion or Mount Moriah, all the way back to the time of Abraham when he was told to sacrifice Isaac there. That spot was where God met with his people and brought them grace and blessing to the point that those who heard God's word on Mount Zion in Jerusalem were actually called by that name. This one or that one was born in Zion. She is our mother, Paul writes in Galatians. Our mother, the jewel of God. The bride of Christ, the holy church, described here like a city coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. I think you ought to think about this city when you're walking along a sidewalk or looking at a road. What if all of that pavement was made out of precious stones, like the foundations of this holy city of Jerusalem, where John is describing this in such rich terms of chrysolite and carnelian, some stones you maybe never even heard of, but sapphires and emeralds and amethysts, all used in heaven for paving. What does that say about the riches of Christ's holy bride, the New Jerusalem? Those who put their faith in Jesus and finally enjoy that triumph on the other side. Riches beyond our imagination. Look at the sidewalk. Look at the road. And think of the jewels that the Lord uses to pave the streets in heaven. But it's not just the foundations. It's the light source. In our translation, he says that the radiance was coming from, was like a precious jewel, a jasper, clear as crystal. But he really says the light source, what was shining. In another place, Jesus is described as looking like a jasper or a jewel. And Jesus is that light source that you maybe first heard about on your mother's knee or your grandmother or grandfather or father singing to you about the Lord Jesus and his loving kindness and his tender mercy. You know that his love and his tender mercy is more precious than all the jewels of the entire world. And in heaven, he's the light source in that holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And then there's 12. 12 of everything. You know what the number 12 stands for? How many tribes were there in the Old Testament? 12. How many apostles in the New Testament? 12. The number 12 is used throughout the Bible and especially in Revelation to picture the believers, Old Testament and New Testament. And if you multiply them times each other, 12 times 12, and then you multiply triple, 3 and 1 times 10 times 10 times 10, the number of completion, do the math. The whole church of God is pictured with this number of 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. 144,000 Old and New Testament believers described in these picture terms. I know it. You're talking about the bride of Christ. How do you picture this bride of Christ like a city? In the Spirit, John says. I was in the Spirit. Let your mind go the way the Spirit would take you and see that beautiful picture of one 12 after another. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. In fact, the wall was so high in another place, it's in multiples of 12, but we would translate that into 1,000 miles high. But it was a perfect cube, as wide and long as it is high. And this great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates also had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on each of the gates. There were 3 gates to the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. 12 gates, all different directions. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. All over these pictures of the 12, Christ's church, his holy bride, in everlasting security. If you know anything about ancient cities, the last thing you would do in building an ancient city is make a lot of gates. The gates, even in medieval times, as the architects thought more and more about how to defend the city, more and more they would build the walls around the gate so that you could actually see the gate from any direction. And if anyone attacked the gate, the weakest point in the wall, you'd be able to fire on him with arrows or hot molten lava if you could get it, whatever it took to keep them from attacking your gates, because the gate had to stay closed. If the gates were stout and fortified and closed at night, Mom and Dad and the kids could sleep and not have to worry about surprise attack from enemies all around. But the New Jerusalem, gates to the east, gates to the north, south, and west, gates in all directions, because the enemies are gone. They are no more. The devil and all his evil angels, death itself and sin, have been thrown into that fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. They're separated from God's people and from God forever and ever. So all these gates stand wide open. They're never closed, day or night. There is no night in that place. Absolute security and beautiful access to the throne of God in heaven. Beautiful access to God himself that can never be shut out again. Our mothers taught us when we were growing up about Jesus and his forgiveness. Maybe for you too, some of the most comforting passages you ever heard in the middle of your sorrow and sadness, whatever it was that bothered you as a little child, came from your mother. I still have my confirmation Bible signed by my great-grandmother in her devout faith about this indescribable gift, which is our Lord Jesus and the faith that we received from him. And I remember Grandma Werner when I pray so often with that little book. You think about so many generations, if you've been blessed that way, of sitting the little ones down and when they're afraid and sad and saying, you remember what Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I give unto you. Not like the world. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Over and over again, those beautiful passages of comfort and peace that bring us close to God are the way the Lord opens the gates for us today. But in heaven, we'll be there in that glorious peace for God's people, in that heavenly city, that New Jerusalem. The meanest mother in the world, what is that compared to our Heavenly Father sometimes? The Lord scourges those He loves. He whips every son that He receives. The Lord's discipline is not pleasant. In fact, there's a whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, about what it's like when God seems mean. When the things that He is doing to us, we maybe stop and say, why? Why, Lord, did this happen in my life? Why does this come up just at such a time like this when it's been so difficult anyway? And now this, what next? You ask those questions over and over again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, the Lord says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Sometimes God seems mean. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. A harvest. You sow the seeds, God makes it grow. Our parents, our mothers in particular, sowing those seeds of God's word so that eventually, in God's own good time, the harvest of righteousness and peace grows. So they describe it as never being arrested, never getting into trouble vandalizing somebody else's property. You know how far short that falls. You have to do more as a Christian parent than just dare to keep your kids off drugs. There has to be so much more than that when God brings the light. To discipline our children in the Lord's way is always to think of them as God's children first, and to put that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first before anything else, even before the way they feel about us, which sometimes means we end up being the meanest parents in the world. Is it worth it? Martin Luther liked to say, if you could transport yourself to heaven and then look back on this earth and think from there about what it is like down here, you would say, God, I'd go through that a million times over to come to this place and have this blessing. And that's why Christian parents, when they grow up to be Christian parents, discipline their children with love and firmness as God disciplines us. There's a time in every child's life when going to church isn't so fun. You know, if parents are living out their example when the children are little and talking and actions speak louder than words, and but being careful with their words too about going to the Lord's house, and it's a joyful time for the little ones, there still comes a time, that little window in there, when even this one asked, do I have to go to church? That's where that firmness and that love comes through of putting the Lord first in everything and saying, yes, we want to go. And I was taught to pray for that desire to go, that eagerness to be in the Lord's house. And the Lord gives it. The Lord can make it so that even this one needs to be in church every Sunday and a lot of times in between and sometimes twice on Sunday and awake during the sermons. I've told you all that before. The joy of worshiping the Lord is something that's taught by example and by God's holy word as the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of our children. But in heaven, no church. Very different. On the other side, when God brings the light and grants this glorious grace from the Lamb. In heaven, John was absolutely surprised. Did you hear that? The surprise about what he did not find in the New Jerusalem, the city from God. John says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. No need for a place to meet with God there, because God is everywhere. He finally keeps that promise that he made over and over again in Scripture, that he would come and tent with his people, come and dwell with them. For a time, his Son came and tented for a while among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. But there, God comes down to live with us and us to live with him forever and ever. No need for church. We're there with God. On this side, we have to steady our mothers and fathers too, and remind one another that the shortest distance between a problem and the solution is the distance from your knees to the floor. When we come to the Lord in prayer on our knees, he helps. But in heaven, no more trouble, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin. Nothing to take away that light that God gives us. In fact, he says over and over again, you will shine like stars forever and ever. In the discipline of this life, when God seems mean, when our parents, our mothers and fathers don't seem to have our best interest in mind, especially in those teen years, when we maybe find it difficult to be that tough parent, that mean mom, that firm father, think of our Heavenly Father and the way he's guiding us, the way he's directing us. And grandparents can help with this too. I cringe a bit when grandparents talk about spoiling kids. That means rotten. Maybe there's a right way for that. But oh, use those opportunities when children open up to you as grandparents to help them see the wisdom of the parents. And maybe to say, you know, when your mom and dad were little, that's what I did to them too. Because that's what they needed. That's the blessing. Children can't see that. You can help them see that. Just as we help them see the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, coming down out of heaven from God, adorned like a bride dressed for her husband, beautifully bedecked in those jewels of God's righteousness, Christ's peace, his glorious love that surpasses all understanding. Lord, bring us to that light, to that great land of light, and grant us the parents that are even willing to be mean like you in all the love and kindness and tender mercy that brings us to heaven. Lord, give us your light. Amen.